podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Welcome back to the Same Old Arsenal podcast, episode 238.
Wow.
I think it's 238. I think it is. I'll have to have another look on my little, because when I upload the podcast, it lets me know how many episodes I've put on. I think it's 238. Good evening to you all in the chat. Some of you have been waiting there for quite a while. Hello to you all. Thank you very much for coming to join us. Don't forget to tell everyone on Twitter that we're live. I've forgotten to do it again. So if you could do it for me, that would be great. I might tweet it out while one of the lads here is talking. Hope you've all had a good weekend. Hope you've all had a good week so far. Joining me this evening, Amanda, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good. Nice to be back.
Good, good, good. And James, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. Thanks as always for having me on.
That's absolutely no problem at all, mate. We do have Danny coming on with us as well. He did text me a minute ago to say that he was trying to get his T-shirt on. I just hope he hasn't fallen off the bed or anything. So he will be with us here. Oh, do excuse me. I hope that didn't come out, did it?
No, you've got a little bit of static on your mic, though.
Oh, have I? That's probably. Oh, that might be because it's too loud. Right, hold on there a second.
It's a little bit. I don't know if anyone can hear it in the chat room. Can you hear it, James?
Just a tad, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll turn it down a bit.
No, it's still happening.
Now, is that better? Is it crackling?
It crackling a little bit. It's on and off. It's fine. Don't worry. We'll just
I'll carry on. I'll carry on. I'll have to get over it. Amanda, so Newcastle. We'll start with a Newcastle game. Lots of people disappointed. I was disappointed that we didn't win, of course, but playing against the best defensive setup in the league. I know you were I know you weren't very happy with the time wasting and stuff like that. A game I thought we should have won, though, still. I thought we should have won that game.
Well, we might have won if they'd have given us a penalty that we should have had 100% nailed on bloody penalty. There's no doubt it's a penalty. Everyone has said it's a penalty. But we didn't get it. And it was a very well-fought 0-0 against the best defence in the Premier League. However, we are going to come a cropper against teams like this, that's for sure. Oh, hello, Danny. And I feel they're time-wasting and they're shithousery. It got too much in the end. I think they played the game of shithousery. It became so frustrating and so ridiculous. But the referee lost control. He was absolutely useless, that ref. And look, disappointed. Performance was okay. It was fine. It just was one of those games, weirdly, in the car, going to the Emirates. My cousin said to me, this could be 0-0. And I laughed at him. And I said, there's no way we're both not going to score. And I was wrong and he was right. So, yeah. But we move on. And I'm all right with it. We didn't lose. Clean sheet. We tried our best. I'm sorry, the ref and VAR are against us. And it was just one of those days.
Yeah, absolutely. James, I mean, can't really agree with that. When you're playing against a team, you know, like Newcastle, came down to the Emirates, extremely low block. Three players on Martinelli when he got the ball. Three players on Saka when he got the ball. Not too much we could have done about it, really. Again, talking about the penalties. For me, there was two nailed on penalties. I thought both of them were penalties. But not to be on the night, James, not to be.
No, sadly not. I think the only main disappointment for me was that we were at home, and I know we'd had some fantastic results going into the game, and we were talking on the podcast before the game that, you know, we're going to slip up at some point, and I wouldn't say we slipped up, but it's just a very slight pit stop in the in the long journey around the M25, if you like. Yeah, exactly. That's the best way to describe it. And it's not an issue, I don't think at all. I mean, like Amanda said, it's the best defence in the league. They're a very good team. It's frustrating the way they did it, but can I really blame them for doing that? I mean, you know, they played the game. It's what teams are going to do, and they've got the quality to do it as well. They've got the best defence in the league, but a lot of teams are going to do that. They're going to try to do that, but they're not going to have the quality that Newcastle have got. So I'm not too worried about other teams coming and trying to do that at the Emirates, because I still think we've got the quality to do it. Only thing I would say is it was really evident in that game that we needed firepower off the bench. If we had someone like a Smith Rowe, like, say, if Jesus started, we'd have Nketiah to bring off from the bench, you know, a Mudryk, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, or even a Reece Nelson, just someone to add a bit of firepower, because we had nothing. The only substitution we made was Tomiyasu. I think that and obviously the calls from the referee, they're the difference makers in a game like that. They're the fine details. And where that added time came from at the end of both halves, I mean, 2 minutes and 5 minutes, when the ball was in play for, what, 43 minutes in the entire game?
43 minutes.
Yeah, mental. And on that note, hello, Danny. How you doing, mate?
I got stuck.
Danny got stuck. Danny was trying to put his t-shirt on. Look at that. You look like a Spanish waiter.
It has a name. It is called Tom, as in Stelic, not Canton. Although I'm sure Canton could grow a jolly good beard, moustache.
It's very Vincent Del Bosque.
It was actually a lot white. Did with the full handlebar one, it was down there, but then I trimmed up one side, then the other, and then it was a nightmare.
So, you actually look like the guy from... Has anyone seen Queen of the South?
No.
I can see them. No. You look like Teresita. Carl will know what I'm talking about. You look like the Mexican. Ian goes, Teresita.
Just for the people who listen on audio, Dan has just appeared with his beard gone. He's only got a moustache now, named Tom.
Yeah, I did it to annoy Sean.
Just in case you're all wondering what's going on. Danny, the Newcastle game. We were all sitting here going, oh, it's all right. They've got the best defensive, you know, they've got the best defence in the league and all that malarkey. Danny, what if Newcastle was still bad and they were still 17th and we drew 0-0 at home? The hurrah would have been...
Well, they are in a misleading position. They are not going to be in the top four positions come the end of the season, because they are relying too much on blocking everybody. We saw what Dan Burn was doing, standing in front of Ramsdale, not letting him see anything. People were laughing at Ramsdale, but he had to do that, jump up and down and wave his arms so the people that were around him could see what was going on. And they were definitely cheating and fouling all the way through. I said last night, at least Oxford didn't try and Newcastle us, which is now become a verb. Is a verb something? Yeah, a verb is to do. And so it was really frustrating to see. And then us, the icing on the cake is that us getting charged by the FA. Somebody put out a tweet, I don't know who they were, saying that after the game against Chelsea, Man United, Liverpool and Arsenal, all those teams got charged by the FA. I think maybe Man City were one as well. There was all those teams have been done, been charged by the FA for inappropriate conduct, yet Newcastle are getting away with it over and over. And we saw the World Cup went to Qatar because of bribery and corruption. That isn't even in question. And now you've got the people that own from those countries now own Newcastle. And we know that these things go on, and I wouldn't be surprised if there is some shenanigans. I don't know who to point the finger at, but the number of decisions that we didn't get, like there's that stat going around that Saka has done, I think he's done 6 fouls this season, and he has been got 1 yellow card, and he's had 25 fouls against him and been given no yellow cards, apart from last night he got one. But there was some, and again, another stat from Twitter that I have probably completely messed up.
That's unbelievable. But
so
do you know
they
what?
Said, come on.
You can You're see that's got to be true. Not surprising, is it? No, not surprising.
But how long have we had Harry Kane, the darling of the FA, been getting away with absolute murder? We know football is fixed because we know against Spurs they're going to get a penalty. That he's going to get a penalty against us. We know these things happen. But he is the darling of the FA. If the FA have any sense, they will have two darlings, Saka and Jude Bellingham. And now let's see how much the FA will protect Saka, because they won't protect him. Referees won't protect him because they hate us. And they hate us even more because...
But does anyone know why? I mean, it is so blatant. And I'm not one of these cynical, you know, follow the sheep crowd. But it is becoming more and more obvious. We all are sitting here knowing Harry Kane is going to get a penalty on Sunday.
For the viewers and the watchers, I was going to have a game of Harry Kane penalty bingo. Give us a number from 1 to 90.
But why though? I mean, look, we've got to be sensible. It does come down to us not sticking legs out and not doing something stupid in the penalty area. There does come down to that. We've got to have our common sense about us with Harry Kane. But I'm going back to the Newcastle game. For me, Danny and James and Craig, I only think one of them was a definite nailed on. The second one, the handball, you can dispute that he's where his arm was in a natural position, but that you can argue about. You can't argue about the shirt pull because the advertising went over his shoulder. So there's no argument there. Why wasn't it given? It's so frustrating. It really is. And I don't know why, because we're not a dirty team. You know, Xhaka has completely cleaned up his act. We're not a dirty team. How can anyone say Saka is dirty and gets those yellow cards is beyond me.
And Have you seen Dermot Gallagher's justification as to why that penalty wasn't given?
Because they didn't think he made an error, but he did make an error. He didn't give a penalty. You know, it's just so frustrating.
Well, I think
we could sit here all night again and waste it away talking about the atrocity that is VAR. It's clearly not working in this Premier League. It's clearly not. I mean, how can you have a competition where some games have got it, some games haven't got it? It's
and the
ridiculous.
Wolves one, where the manager's put in a complaint, hasn't he? Yeah, good luck with that. They should have beat Liverpool.
I've seen the video from the other side. There was a video going around on Twitter from the other side. He's clearly onside when that ball comes back. Yeah. Clearly. Clear as day, onside. And then the excuse given for that was that they didn't have enough cameras in the ground. But if you're not going to do it properly, then don't do it at all.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say that. It should be everybody or no one.
Exactly. And like I said, we could waste away. We could, you know, it's going back to how I like football. Controversial, something to talk about. Do you know? All right. You know, we all wanted to see Liverpool get knocked out of the cup. It didn't happen, but, you know. It would have been funny if the goal had been given, I suppose, by VAR. But like I said, we could sit here all night talking about it. It's an atrocity. It's rubbish. It should never have been brought into the game. Yeah. It should never have been brought into a Premier League. And
Craig, I'm just putting this up. Is this true? He says, Amanda, Howard Webber stated that he wants VAR intervention for clear and obvious in real time. But that was clear and obvious, that penalty against Gabriel.
Oh, the shirt pull is clear and obvious. Yeah. I don't see how anyone sitting in that room doing the VAR has said, nah, that's not a pen. I just...
Makes me wonder whether they're trying to... do they realise that they're trying to kill the game? VAR is killing football. You can't celebrate. And then to top that off, they've now gone they're not going to wave for offside, even though you think it's offside. So then doubly you go, well, there's no point celebrating because it could be offside. It could be VAR for any reason, and then they got that new one where they're not going to let you know for whatever. I've still had no decent explanation of that recent rule of why they'll just let you play on, even though you know they're going to call it.
Well, it's dangerous, but that's dangerous, Danny, because we could get injured going for a ball. Anyone could. That all of a sudden you're offside 20 minutes ago. Do you know what they've done? They've broken something that wasn't. They're trying to fix something that wasn't broken. Just have it for goal line technology and actual factual stuff. End of. It's ruined it. Honestly, I'm up at, I don't know what James is like, but when we score, I'm up. And then I go, oh, I have to look straight away.
When we scored that goal, the first one we scored against West Ham, I was so adamant that Saka was offside because it was that one where Ødegaard shot and it landed at Saka. I was like, oh, no, that's definitely offside. I was still in my seat when that went in. And the guy next to me has got absolutely mental. He's like, come on, he's definitely on. It's like, nah, he's off.
Ruined,
I watched
it
back and then someone was keeping him on. But it's just, I can't get that ecstatic about the goals anymore, which is a shame because when you're in the ground, it's once in a lifetime feeling.
It's embarrassing jumping up at the game.
Yeah. Well, you sort of, it's really weird situation, but I was up for Saka, James, and I was convinced he was onside. I actually wasn't worried at that moment. But these offsides by a toenail have got to stop. And drawing lines. I'm sorry, it really has got to stop. Offside is offside. If your foot is slightly offside, that is not offside. And do you know what? I need to get in the FA or wherever it is. I'll sort them all out. I'll tell them exactly.
It needs to go back to daylight.
Go on, Craig. Simple. Yeah, of course. And the thing is, offside is just normal offside, not second phase play. And oh, my life, honestly, because I'll tell you what, if it had been normal, we'd have had that goal at Old Trafford. They wouldn't have gone all the way back, had this conversation about Ødegaard and a foul. And I'm sorry, for me, it wasn't even a foul. And then we could rant about it all night.
There's two things people want from football. You want goals and you want action. And then, Craig, wasn't there a stat about how many minutes the ball was in play against Newcastle? Something like 43
minutes.
We want players running around. We want action. We want goals. And they are doing everything to sanitise our game. And I don't like it.
No. Like I said, lads, we can sit here all night and talk about it and you know, and make a great show about it. But I just bored of talking about VAR now, to be honest. It's just, like I said, it's an atrocity to football. And I absolutely hate it. I was going to say one more thing about it, but I'm not. I'm going away from it.
Walk away.
Walk away. Takes the bigger man. Takes the bigger man to walk away. Remember that one. So, Newcastle game, very disappointing. I was disappointed anyway. Eddie didn't really get into the game, Amanda, did he? And like I said to James, like, every time Martinelli got the ball, there was three people around him. Every time Saka got the ball, there was three people around him. Eddie Howe really came down to the Emirates and done a shithousery job on us, didn't he?
He did. And you know, I don't blame Newcastle. I blame the ref, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Newcastle came not to lose. What's that old adage? If you can't win, don't lose. You know, it's down to us to break them down. We couldn't. They're going to go, and I know it sounds very strange, but my Spurs friend said the same thing about Newcastle to me after the game. He said, I know how you feel. They did it to us. And that's sort of him defending us. So they're obviously very known for doing this. And if that's what they can do to win, good luck to them. I've got no issue with what they do. But they're not in control of the game, and the ref is. And the ref was useless. And honestly, VAR ruin games, and so are referees at the moment. And it's such a shame. It's so simple. Sit in a room, watch the game, and if it's a shirt pull or an offside or, you know, it's a throw-in, just give it. Help the referee. But I couldn't watch Newcastle play every week, if I'm honest. And when we came out and walked over the Drayton Park Bridge, we always come out with the away fans. So we hit that and we walked together. And a lot of Arsenal fans were moaning at them, and it kicked off a little bit and said, if you watch that, I couldn't watch that all week. But they're doing well. They're fourth, aren't they? You can't moan. If you was a Geordie, you'd be over the moon at the moment. It's just we're not used to it and we don't play like that. And honestly, I watched the goalkeeper when he was in the second half down the North Bank end, what he did. Picked the ball up, walked to the other post, kicked his foot against the post to get the mud off his shoe, put the ball down, went back to the post again and went back to the ball. This was every time. I was just watching him. And in the end, and what we need is a captain that is in the referee's face.
Yeah. But then again, you know, I get how people get upset when it's against us, but, you know, we've done our fair share.
Not like that. I've never seen us play.
We have.
Not the whole game. Come on. No.
Come on. You're forgetting about a fella called Jens Lehmann. What a fella. He's the king of shithousery, that bloke.
Yeah, but hold on. Maybe Jens was and our team wasn't, but their whole team was like it. They must have gone, every player must have gone down at least three times.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, all right. Okay, I agree.
And how often is Saka going to get smashed in the face twice in that game? Kicked all over the place. It says something
Martinelli got banged as well, didn't he?
It says something about football. When Oxford need money, they're a League One side. The FA Cup is the dream, and they came to play football, and that's what they wanted to do. It could make or break their season financially. And then Newcastle had no interest in playing football. And every time the referee made a decision, there's seven players around him shouting and screaming at him.
Could they be the new Stoke? Could
they? Yeah.
Someone could called they be them the that, new Stoke City?
Could well, Burnley aren't Burnley side? Anymore, are they? Burnley are playing the beautiful game, so maybe beautiful Newcastle game, can take that moniker.
I know, unbelievable. James, let's talk to you about the comments in the press about Mikel Arteta going over the top on the sideline.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
I can remember it was only 10, 15 years ago we were all having a go at Wenger because he wouldn't get up and do it. And now Mikel Arteta is the bad man now for getting up out of his seat and trying to get his team G up. Do you mind managers doing that? Or to me, it's part of the game. That Arteta is as much involved in that game as he is with the fellas running around on the pitch. I don't get this witch hunt against Mikel Arteta, unless it's a witch hunt just because we're top of the league.
I mean, I'm not watching Arteta when we're playing football, to be honest with you. And I know what you were saying about Wenger is that when we were playing under him and you kind of look over to him as a source of inspiration when things aren't going well, and you'd see him there with his arms crossed, with his legs outstretched, you'd kind of be like, oh, come on, just G the team up a little bit. You definitely aren't going to see that sort of language style from Arteta because he's always on the touchline. He never sits down. He's always there. And I think, I don't think you could read too much into how a manager acts or behaves on the touchline. I don't think that improves their footballing knowledge or ability, but it's good to know that he's kind of there in the trenches with the team, spurring them on all the time. He's got that passion, that desire, that commitment. And I do like that about him, to be honest. And what's coming out in the press is just nonsense. I read an article from a guy that was berating him for it, and this was the same bloke that was promoting the entertainment of what happened between Tuchel and Conte earlier on in the season. Like, come on, that was 10 times more embarrassing than what Arteta's been doing.
Yeah.
I mean, what has Arteta done that's that bad, really? Like, he's gone up and down the touchline a little bit. You know, he's got in the rest faces. He's called people out. But he's not done anything worse than half the other managers in this league have done. You know, Mourinho said, the things Ferguson said. Come on, he's nowhere near as bad as some of those guys. So it's just, I don't want to go down the route of everyone hates Arsenal, but where we are at the minute, you can't help but feel that way, can you?
Yeah, well, everyone hates us, James. Sorry. but George Graham said, didn't he? Everyone hates us, but it's all right. We don't care. Danny, what would be your take on this Mikel Arteta witch hunt? Especially from a certain ex Sky Sports presenter.
Oh, I want to talk about him. Go on, Danny.
It's so I like what he does. Wenger used to always take the blame for everything, and Arteta would like the spotlight when things are going wrong. He'll get the spotlight put onto himself rather than onto the players because he's the manager and he can take it. And that's a good thing. If so, he'll be jumping up and down on the touchline and then shouting and screaming. Sometimes it does go a little bit far, but we saw from the All or Nothing documentary that what he does is working because all of the players are behind him, behind his plan, behind the club, and everything is working wonderfully. So I don't mind it. It is, if I wasn't an Arsenal fan, I look at the antics that he gets up to and then I go, well, it's not quite Mourinho-esque, is it? I mean, it's kind of, but it's not as bad as Mourinho. So do like running up and down the pitch and shouting and screaming and doing that. But maybe it's a thing that foreign managers like to do because they are very passionate and expressive, aren't they, of their feelings. Whereas back in the George Graham days, he'd spend the first half up in the stands just looking down at it all. So just go from one extreme to the other. But it's working, so I can't complain. And if it annoys them, good.
That's what I was going to say to you. But do you think, like, what James just said there, like, you know, Wenger used to sit down, put his arm, across his legs and throw his arms up in the air, throw bottles around the place or whatever, go and stand on the roof in Old Trafford. But do you think that the players, like James said, do you think that the players, you know, see him up and down, and do you think that it does get them going?
I've heard somebody say that the players have said that during a normal game they can't hear what he's shouting and screaming at. So, like, especially if you're on the other side of the pitch and you've got 60,000 people screaming and having a great time because we are an absolute delight to watch. So it does make you wonder, why he does some of it. And like, he's pointing and shouting and screaming and thinking, well, how much do they actually hear of that? So maybe it's just his way of dealing with not playing anymore. He's doing his part. He's been the third. He's been the fans are the 12th man. Maybe he's the 13th man and doing it from the touchline.
Very good point, mate. Very good point. I like that. I like to think that's why he does it, because he's not playing anymore. And that's a very good point.
We'd see Wenger sitting there, wouldn't we? And his leg would go every now and then. He'd do a little movement so maybe this is an advanced version of that.
Amanda, you'd like to talk about a certain ex-Sky Sports presenter?
Richard Keys is an irrelevance. He's been irrelevant for many, many years. Okay? He is absolutely nothing and has become something because he's gone for the team that's top of the league. Now, they went for Wenger because Wenger was different. Okay? They're going for Mikel, but Mikel couldn't give a flying F. He doesn't care. And that's what I love. Eventually, this will all stop. Klopp and Pep have done far worse. And Mourinho was the worst ever. Arteta's passion up and down that line, well, can't be doing any harm, can it? We're top of the league and the players absolutely idolise him and so do the fans. And all we do is non-stop singing the Emirates about we've got Mikel Arteta. So I hope he carries on and I hope he gets worse. And I hope the banter's even funnier. Because let me tell you, he is one of the best managers in the Premier League at the moment and they can stick it up their fucking arses. It pisses me off.
Amanda, you're a woman. Stop
it. I know. I'm a woman. Don't be shocking. I'm so angry that I go for Richard Keys very often. And I often say to people, don't do it. Don't tweet him. But there are times where I can't resist. Because you know what? You sit in your United Arab Emirates beach and you do what you want to do. We don't care about you. Okay. Don't come on to Arsenal. And what Martin Keown did this week was absolutely brilliant. Him and Richard Keys had a spat on Twitter. Actually, Martin didn't even respond to him. And all I'm going to say is this, yeah? If you want a manager that just sits on the bench and does nothing, then stop supporting the Arsenal. That's not what we want. We need this. Arteta is right opposite me. Okay. So I can see everything he's doing and I've loved it since day one. And I think Danny's right. I think you've hit the nail on the head. He wants to be playing and this is him playing. He wants perfection. We should be absolutely thankful that that man is our manager, not criticising him because he goes a bit mental on the touchline. When he did it at Liverpool last year, they went and scored. And I think he's learnt from that. I just think he's doing it 90 minutes of the game. And I don't think he gives a toss. And the way he's interviewed, oh, my life, is just brilliant. When they asked him last night about, I can't even say his name, Joao Felix or whatever, or Mudrick or whatever. He just goes on to, he's like a politician. Straight onto I just want to talk about the game and the game tonight is, and we've got, he just stops it all in its tracks. And it's ridiculous that he's going to be interviewed on TV and asked about a potential player that he might be signing just as we've gone through in the FA Cup. You know, stop it. I need to interview these people because what you want to hear is how it means to them and how are the players, and stop it. Honestly, some of these pundits get on my tits. Excuse my language. I'm using
it
a bit tonight.
And before the brigade come after me, what I meant to say was, you're a lady, Amanda, you're a lady.
A lady? No, I'm not. I'm not when it comes to Arteta and Richard Keys, because I go for Richard Keys all the time. Piers Morgan never bothers me because I just don't respond, don't care, not interested in anything he's got to say. And when people get irate with him, I quite laugh. But Richard Keys gets to me. It does. It actually gets to me. And the fact is, I've got to defend our club and our supporters. And the thing is, it just takes the piss. And Gary Neville's gone a little bit like that. Not as bad as Richard Keys. But what I will say is, let's hope our manager continues to be that passionate and he doesn't just go and sit down. That man wants to win every single game. We should be bloody thankful, not criticising him.
I love it. I love it when all these people come after the Arsenal. I absolutely love it. None of them get to me, not at all. I think They're an absolute load, bunch of wallies, and they've got nothing, nothing else to report on except Arsenal doing well. Oh, geez, we can't have this. We can't have this. We can't have Arsenal doing well. We're going to have to make up something now, or try and do something to, you know, to make it negative. But no, I just, there's the stuff I read, I just laugh at it now.
Craig, you know, they're coming for us because we're relevant again.
Yeah, exactly. We weren't. Exactly.
Don't you remember when Ferguson was nice to Wenger because we were like eighth, you know, or fifth? We weren't relevant. Wenger and Ferguson had their spat because we were relevant. So do you know what? Let's keep being relevant.
Exactly. Arsene Wenger came in and knocked him off his perch, didn't he? So he didn't like that. James, let's talk about last night. A pretty poor first half, I believe. Not worth watching, one of my followers said last night when I said, is there a highlight show because I missed the game? Don't bother, was the reply I got. First half, pretty poor. But second half, a certain player came on the pitch and we win the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty drab first half, if we're being honest. That second string team, I like the individuals. I like quite a lot of the individuals that are in that 11. And I think we all know that players like Tomiyasu, Tierney, Vieira, these are all players that can pretty much quite seamlessly slot into the first 11 without dipping the quality of our overall team too much. But it's when they all come together as a unit that they don't quite work to the level you'd want them to. And I think that midfield last night was just a little bit too lightweight. Didn't quite have the power that we normally have associated with our midfield this season. And to be fair, when you're going from Xhaka, Partey, Odegaard to Sambi, Elneny and Vieira, I mean, you've got one genuinely world-class midfield in there to one that has barely played together. I don't want to knock any of the players particularly too much. I think, you know, there are some players that obviously we do need to upgrade on in the summer. There are some players in that 11 that I think would benefit from a loan away. But yeah, like I say, when they come together as a unit, it just doesn't click. But in that second half, when we saw the introduction of Xhaka, we got the first goal, we got a hold on the game. It was just, yeah, really enjoyable viewing, really good to watch. And it just does just show how quickly a player like Xhaka can flick the switch.
Ben, what were your thoughts on the game last night? I mean, Eddie Nketiah, bring him out. Scoring goals, Dan. You know, if this was Gabriel Jesus scoring them, we'd all be going, oh, what a player. You know, it's only against, you know, people might say it's only Oxford, but you've still got to put the ball in the back of the net. Eddie Nketiah, Dan, is he doing enough for you?
He's doing a job, but whether it's the other, it's the non-goal scoring parts of the job that he can't, that Jesus does, that he can't do, that he won't ever be able to do. The vision that he's got and the experience, and whether it be international level or winning the Premier League or all those other things. I'm quite happy with Eddie, but Eddie isn't the man. I mean, I've followed Eddie ever since he was a child for Arsenal, banging goals at all kind of levels, going back many, many years from since when he signed for us from Chelsea. That's when I first thought, oh, this Eddie kid, he looks pretty decent. And you don't break the England goal scoring record at under 21 if you're not special. And he has definitely got something. So I'm happy to stick with him. And I made a point a couple of weeks, last week, I said that at the moment he has got two goals in three Premier League games. Now, would Jesus get two in three? He'd maybe get one in three. Eddie's job is different from Jesus's. Eddie's is just to score goals, just to be there, whereas Jesus is to set up goals. You won't see Eddie getting many assists this season. So you can't have the same type of players all the time. So Eddie is a good plan B occasionally when he comes on, and he's doing the job at the moment. So he may well save the club 50 million because we don't have to go out and get another player. And at the moment he's got four goals in four games. The stats don't lie, do they? Like when it comes to goals like that. And I think he's doing all right. I think he needs to believe in himself a little bit more. His body language is always that of a 12-year-old child that's been told to go and tidy its room. Arms down by the side, look like that, head down. But then the ball comes to him in the box, and he goes fully in right, and he's tapping them in from 6 inches. So you can't have any complaints about it. I think someone at 6'1" should be a little bit better in the air, which, I mean, look at him, you think, what is he, 5'4", 5'5"? He's a 6'1" lad, he's bulked up. And he's really? Still only quite... Yeah,
six foot one?
I'm sure I looked at that on Wikipedia. If someone can just check that from that is watching.
He done
that,
six that, foot yeah. one.
Cookie's got another screen open. His face is lit up.
5'11". 5'11".
Oh, well, yeah. There you go.
You're almost there.
I mean, 5'11".
When they measure players, do they measure them with their boots on? Because that's another couple of inches.
No.
No. Well, he's 6'1", then, isn't he?
But I mean, 5'11" is still tall, taller than I thought.
It's misleading because you do honestly. Yeah. You look at him, you think 5'8", 5'9". Yeah. He's 5'11", and he's a growing lad still. But then the other thing you were saying that someone made a good point on the post game show last night. They were saying that Vieira didn't really do much in the first half, and he didn't do much at the beginning of the second half. And then all of a sudden, he sprung into life, and someone, I think it may have been Aston. Gunnar Mike's mate, Magic Mike's mate, he went, well, that was because Lokonga went off and then Xhaka came on. And as soon as Xhaka came on, Vieira went, well, hey, I can go off and do my job now, which is what he did. Yeah. He came on in the 62nd minute, and with 8 minutes, he got 2 assists. He was playing out of his skin and magnificently. So that is a big statement. But I think we've been a little bit harsh about Lokonga. At the last 9 Premier League games, he has been an unused sub in 8 of them and not on the bench on the other one. And Vieira, yeah, not been used much. So when you're playing, I've made the analogy, when you're playing Football Manager, which I'm sure most of us have done, you can't leave a player on the bench for 9 games in a row and not play him and then let him start a game, because his match fitness is going to be nowhere near what it needs to be. And so he needs to, we can use 5 Premier League, is it 5 subs in the Premier League you can use? Yeah. How often does he use 5 subs? He used 1 against Newcastle. He needs to use his, that is something that we criticised Wenger for years. 63rd minute, on comes a DM, whether you're 4-0 up or 4-0 down. Arteta needs to work, I mean, here I am telling him like I know, but he needs to work on maximising his potential from substitutes. Because he's not doing it for me.
Yes. I agree with you what you said about substitute, but I also think he needs to start looking at players that are in the Sammy Lukaku is never gonna get he's never gonna get a 10-game run in this team. Never. Even if someone was injured, I'd say that someone else will come in front of him. Cole here says, question, has Sammy Lokonga got a future at the club? After 2 seasons, he doesn't seem to have improved at all. And I massively agree with what Carl has said there. But then I saw in the chat say that a loan is where he should have gone in the summer. He should have been loaned out in the summer to get him up to, well, not match fitness, but give him games. We've seen it happen with a couple of, over the last few seasons, Saliba going back to France. Turned him into defender of the year. Who else came back from a loan after doing really well? Smith Rowe out on loan to Red Bull. Is it Red Bull Salzburg you went out to?
Yep.
Came back.
And
look at what's his name? Tavares over in France.
And Balogun.
He scores every other game, doesn't he?
Yeah, Balogun.
Yeah. Balogun.
I was going to go
up to Balogun, but someone said to me, 40 million we're looking for him, and both Milans are interested. 40 million? See ya.
Well, he's more suited to Italian football.
Sorry, for 40 million. Yeah. If someone comes in with 40 million for him, you're going to take it, surely.
What, on Balogun?
Yeah.
Are you talking about Balogun? No, I wouldn't take it.
I'm talking about Balogun, yeah.
No, I wouldn't take it. No.
But they're going Kolasinac.
I want all our superstars to stay with us, thanks.
Well, Kolasinac recently scored in back-to-back goals for Marseille in Ligue 1 and got player of the match in one of them. So you can't put too much into doing well in France, because most of the teams are Ligue 1 or Championship quality, if that.
Charlie Patino's playing well as well. I don't want to give any of these players away for 50 million. I want them to come back to Arsenal and start playing for us. Balogun especially. That's exactly what we need.
Well, we were always going on about that we want... who's that English bloke at Roma? Tammy Abraham. We keep going on about buying him. Well, I'd really like to have him. But then you look at the way Balogun plays football, very similar to him. And then what we'd have to pay to get Abraham? We'd have to pay, 50 million? and give him 200 grand a week or something like that. We may well have it in Balogun. I'm really impressed with him. And Charlie Patino, the Blackpool fans love him. He's got his own song and he's a legend up there. So when he comes back next season, that'd be another real brilliant loan. But I don't think we're going to keep Tavares and Lokonga. No, I don't think he's got a future at the club.
I'd like to see Lokonga go out on loan next season. I think the only reason we probably reserved loaning him out in the summer was because we had that injury to Elneny. And if we had have loaned him out, it would have left us really threadbare in midfield. So I can understand why the club have kept him. Obviously, from his point of view, it's stuttered his development a little bit. But I think if he gets through this season, you know, like Craig was saying, he's probably not going to get a run of games in the team anytime soon, especially as we're coming into the latter stages of the Europa League. And, you know, you would assume he's not going to play away at City in the Cup. So chances are going to be really limited for him. But in the summer, he'll still be 23. If we loan him out, when he comes back the season after at 24, hopefully having had a run of games, playing regularly. I think if Burnley can get promoted, then company would be really interested in taking him on loan for that Burnley side. And I can see him doing really well there. So, you know, he could either come back and be a real asset to the team, or we could sell him on for hopefully something similar to what we paid for him, if not a profit. And I also think that's going to open up an opportunity to Charlie Patino, because he can then come in and fill that void that's going to be left by Lokonga. So I think that could be a really good move in the summer. And with someone like Tavares, I mean, he's someone that I'd be interested to see what happens in the summer, whether the club choose to cash in on him or not. I think what I've seen from him at Marseille, he does still have that slight erratic nature in him. I don't know if you saw he got a red card quite recently. So I wouldn't be too surprised if the club decided to cash in on him. I think he's a player we could afford to sell on and not decrease the quality of the squad, because we've still got Tierney, Zinchenko, and given his profile, he plays more as a wing back, so he's probably not the best fit for us. And if we could get maybe 20 odd million for him, maybe more, that'd be really, really good business.
Right, first of all, sorry, Craig's had to go because his Wi-Fi and his computer have just packed up. I'm really sorry he's not going to come back, but we'll just carry on for a little bit more, go through a few more bits with the boys here. Thanks to everyone on the Same Old Arsenal for being in the chat room and listening on audio and everything else. What did I want to talk about? Yes, Vieira. So last night, it was pretty dull first half, much better second half. 13 minutes between, I wrote this down, 63 to 76 minutes. Up comes Vieira with two assists, Martinelli with assists, and we've scored three goals. And they were really, really good goals. It does seem, doesn't it, Danny, it was like a game of two halves last night.
Yeah, well, when you've got... This is the game of the season for Oxford and all their players, and their manager has taken them from the fifth tier to the fourth tier to the third tier of English football, playing half-decent football. They got a new ground. They got their owner. I mean, they don't own the ground, they rent the ground, but their owner seems to be doing pretty well. They've got players out there that are going to be on TV for the first time maybe ever in their careers. And they gave us a decent game. But for the first half an hour, I think we were very slow. Arteta said, just like kids that are just getting ready for bed, they're having a magic moment, they're high on sugar, just let them run round and just slow the game down for the first half hour. And I expected after about half an hour for us to start pulling them apart and maybe get a couple of goals, but well done to them. Congratulations. They didn't resort to Newcastling us. It was a bit of a slow game. We didn't really take the chances that we had, but then you look when we start to bring on our better players, then the game completely turned, and that's when the result turned our way. I don't think they were ever in much danger of scoring. They only really had one pattern of play, didn't they? They were just trying to break through the middle and then get a goal that way, and they didn't manage to. But yeah, I was quite happy with the game. Definitely happy with the result. Happy with Matt Turner getting another clean sheet. That's four clean sheets in five games. I am a bit concerned about his future at the club, because he came to Arsenal and they understand he's going to be the cup goalkeeper. He's only played five, so he's missed. He missed one League Cup game. We're out of that. He's missed two Europa League games. And then I don't know who we're going to get in the Europa League next, obviously, because he's not been drawn. But then we saw that Arteta played Ramsdale in a couple of the Europa League games, the important ones. And so whether he'd do that again, but he's too good to be a backup goalkeeper. He had a really good World Cup. He likes to keep a clean sheet. And you can see he's adapting his game to play the Arsenal way. He's still struggling with playing out from the back and giving it out to the defenders. But he's trying. And the Americans love him. And we've got loads of American fans who love the club. And so it's absolutely good for them. They've got someone to get behind now that Balogun might not be playing for England, might not be playing for America. He might be playing for England.
Cookie, we were saying before we came on air, you said the game changed when Mr. Granite came on. Is that what you felt last night or on reflection?
Like I said before, I think the midfield we had that started the game was too lightweight. I just think Vieira and Sambi both physically just, you know, aren't as imposing as Partey and Xhaka. If you put them side by side physically, Partey and Xhaka would tower over the two of them. I really do think we missed that kind of authority in midfield. I'm not saying that Sambi and Vieira haven't got quality, because obviously we saw Vieira's quality when he came into his own, when Xhaka came on, but just having that bit of steel in there, someone to take control of the game. And it was no real coincidence that Zinchenko came on alongside Xhaka, who I thought was good when he came on as well. Two players that really dictate the tempo of the game, how we want to play. And yeah, we just took it over from there. I mean, I don't think Xhaka had any kind of sort of direct impact in the first goal we scored. We'd have scored that whether he was on the pitch or not. But that ball from Vieira was world class, genuinely world class. And Elneny, who I'm, you know, I'll be open in saying I'm not his biggest fan, but in the right place at the right time to put the ball in the back of the net. And yeah, it was just really comfortable from there on in. And I was really happy to see Eddie get two goals, both of which he took very, very well. And you know, that's the sort of result we needed, because if we'd have gone into the North London Derby having, you know, God forbid, taking it to a replay or just scraped by with a scrappy 1-0, I don't think that would have done our confidence any good. So to really put the game to bed quite early on in the second half and to show a good performance as well, yeah, it's exactly what the doctor ordered going into Sunday.
I was going to actually bring this up, but Carl Stark just said, not sure that Tierney fits the style of play anymore. Danny, what's your take on this, Tierney and Zinchenko?
I said that... We were talking about it last night. There was five of us, and we were saying that, well, my point was, you can't afford to have a £40 million left-back as your backup left-back, because he's too good for that. Other clubs will want him, a really good quality attacking a full-back who can play wing-back, who can play emergency centre-back like he does for Scotland. You can't have that as a backup. And then someone pointed out, well, Zinchenko's constantly injured, isn't he? And if Zinchenko is injured, then who are you going to play at left-back if we cash in on Tierney? Everybody at the club, I don't know a single person who doesn't love Tierney, doesn't love his personality. He was our best player for 18 months, but he's not an Arteta man, is he? But we don't have anybody that I know of coming through the under-21 level. We've got a really decent right-back, Norton Cuffey. He's I think he's at Rotherham at the moment. He is a really
decent... He's just gone to Coventry.
Oh, today?
No, it was a couple of days ago. He's just had his loan terminated with Rotherham and he's moved on to Coventry.
Well, that is Coventry. That's I think that's probably a better move for him. Hmm. Are they fighting for promotion?
Yeah, they're pushing for the playoffs. No, they're in the Championship, I think.
Are they?
I don't know. Have I got that right?
I've got no idea.
I'll have a look.
Let us know there. Hopefully, well, it's nice to see that our loan manager is actually doing something.
Yeah. Do you feel you prefer Tierney there in that position, or does it depend on who we're playing, or do you prefer Zinchenko there?
Arteta wants an inverted fullback, doesn't he? Someone who comes into central midfield, and as the central midfield is where Zinchenko plays for Ukraine, he does it easily. But then I personally love the roaming, attacking, running down the left hand side, putting in crosses all over the place that Tierney does. So I like both of them. But are we a club that can afford to keep the pair of them? But Zinchenko is he's won the Premier League. He's played in the Champions League. He's magnificent for his country. But could his future be as a replacement for Xhaka? Because we haven't seen Zinchenko play in the DM, the holding role, whatever you want to call it, that he does for Ukraine, doing it for Arsenal. Is that where his future could be? But I do worry about Tierney, because with all these constant injuries, the pair of them, you put them together, you've got a hell of a player who's going to play you every single game of the season. But individually, it looks like neither of them are able to play 50 games a season. So maybe we do need two of them, but I love Tierney. And Zinchenko's just quality.
We've got Phil Macker saying, I love Tierney, but he feels like yesterday's man. You got Matthew D'Souza saying, I love Zinchenko there. Tierney comes on and we don't look the same. Cookie. You and Suburban Guna, who should be back hopefully very soon, he's on his travels. are very much Tierney, aren't you? Or are you starting to change or not?
No, I don't think it's about changing. I like the pair of them. I really like what they can offer. I definitely think Tierney, we've seen the best of him in years gone by, because that's when we were playing a style of play where we were so reliant on the fullbacks overlapping and bombing forwards. We don't play that way anymore. And I think he's been he's in the team at the wrong time almost, because he doesn't really, people have said it before, he doesn't really suit the style of play you want to play. He wants to get beyond the fullback, push up the pitch. He doesn't want to be tucking into midfield. That's not his game, and I don't blame him for that. And his strengths lie in getting forwards and putting those brilliant, brilliant crosses into the box. And we never see him do that anymore, or we very rarely see him do it, which is a real shame because it's such an asset. I do feel for him. But, you know, this is what it feels like. Is his first fully fit season at the club. I mean, he's not had an injury yet, has he? And we're halfway through January. So that's quite positive. And every time he's come in for Zinchenko, I don't think he's been poor by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think he's made the team any worse, but I just think Zinchenko makes the team better. With all due respect to Tierney, it's just the way he controls, dictates, moves into midfield so effortlessly, so naturally. He just seems to be an all-round more intelligent footballer and has a better understanding of the way we want to play. But I will still remain that Tierney is a huge asset to the team. If we were to win the league, then he might feel that he's come to Arsenal and done what he came to do, perhaps, and then he might look to move on. I could see that happening. But I do hope we're able to keep them both for the long term, because it's just great to have two contrasting options in fullback.
Okay, cool. We're just going to... Let's chat about Sunday, because it's coming up. So you've got Man United, Man City at 12:30 on Saturday. Okay. Then you've got us 4:00 on the Sunday, 4:30, sorry, away to Tottenham. We are 11 points ahead of Tottenham with a game in hand. Never thought I'd be saying that in January. Big weekend. Helps us that United are playing, City are playing at United, obviously. Someone's going to drop points somewhere. Your thoughts on it, Danny? How are you feeling about it? To be honest, I was at a party Saturday night and I was having deep conversations, Carl and I was, with a Brighton fan. And he did feel a little bit hard done by when Arsenal went to Brighton. And I get that. I sort of get that second half, what he was saying. Are we playing as well as we were 3-4 weeks ago? What's your prediction? What do you think is going to happen on Sunday, apart from Harry Kane getting his standard penalty?
Well, their home form is terrible in the Premier League. They lost 2-0 to Villa. Well done, Emery. Then they beat Leeds 4-3. I mean, Leeds to go anywhere and score three goals is a miracle. Then they lost 2-1 to Liverpool and 2-1 to Newcastle. So they've lost three out of their last four home Premier League games. They're a nothing side. We've seen that their keeper has retired from international football because he's a bang average keeper at best. Son is completely off form. He had a goal recently, but I think that was the first one he scored in, I think they said, 6 or 7 games. Kane doesn't look the same player. He's one dodgy tackle away from knackering his ankle and being out for the rest of the season, much like Haaland. I don't rate them at all. They're a team of thugs in midfield, with Højbjerg and a few of those others. The stadium's a shithole. The fans are scumbags. And hopefully we're going to go there and absolutely ruin them. And just imagine we'll be 14 points ahead of them with a game in hand.
It would be good, but I do believe this, though. Form goes out the window. I'm with you, Nigel Plum. Form goes out the window in a derby, Danny. I'm sorry it does.
No matter what. No, they've had their 3 years in the sunshine and they've failed to do anything with it. And so it's all back on again. And we're going to go there. And I would be surprised if he'll obviously get his penalty and then we'll beat them 3-1.
So I'm just going to go back, Cookie, to the United game. So Carl starts saying, United to take points of City, Arsenal to beat Spurs at the toilet bowl. Now, the thing is, United are on the same points as Newcastle. What do we want from that game? Do we want them to stuff City or do we want a 0-0 draw?
That's a really good question. I've been wondering that myself as well, because, I mean, United are coming into form in a minute. I would also say that they have played, I think, 3 or 4 teams that are in the bottom 5 of the league, including the FA Cup game. So I wouldn't read too much into their form. They're teams that they should beat. Just before the World Cup break, they got absolutely stuffed by Aston Villa. So, you know, we are capable of beating United, but you don't want them to go into the game at the Emirates having just, you know, pumped City. I think a draw, you know, and a couple of hamstring injuries would be great in that game, ideally. Because United, like you say, they're on the same points as Newcastle. We don't want them getting too close to us. I really am confident we'll beat them at home. Really, really am. Maybe too confident, but I just think after the injustice that we had at Old Trafford earlier on this season, this team's got to be so fired up for that game. But that's for another show. But for Sunday, I mean, it'd be perfect if they could draw and then we get a win. You know, we'd restore that 7-point gap at the top. You know, happy days. But football's a funny old game. What could happen? Who knows?
And it is. And remember, we're top of the league going there. I can't remember the last time that's happened. Their fans are generally worried that we're going to win it.
Decline.
You know, you say that. They're still fifth. You know, I know they're not playing great, but form does go out the window, Danny. Just listen to me. It does. You know, they're going to raise their game. Their fans are going to be behind them like they've never been behind them. What we need to do is score early. We need to score first and we need to score early. So, Danny, give me your prediction for Spurs away on Sunday.
3-1.
So, Danny, I'm writing this down. Danny, you are going 3-1 to Arsenal, yeah?
Yeah.
Cookie?
Oh,
he's deep in thought. Look at him.
Well, let him think. But everyone in the chat room, give me your predictions and I'll put them up. Go and cook.
I mean, they will score the penalty. That's a given. That's going to happen. I'm going to be really optimistic. I'm going to say 4-1. I really think we can win that by that margin.
It all depends on how much the referee has been bribed for to send Xhaka or Gabriel off. We know Gabriel's going to mess up at some point, but also be brilliant at
the same
time.
I don't think Gabriel will. I've never been more confident in Gabriel. I think he's playing his best football in an Arsenal shirt. If anyone's going to mess up, I think it will be Big Willy.
Ah, Big Willy.
Did you see today, Samba, how much he's worth? Did you see this little chart? Did anyone see this chart or was it just me?
I was in bed until an hour ago.
So I have to say that every prediction I'm putting up is saying we're going to win. Do you know what? For once, I'm going to keep quiet. I'm not going to say anything. Okay, this is the one game that I've already started plotting about since this morning. Okay, it started. Plutzing, stressing, plutzing. It's Yiddish for stressing. I work with a Tottenham fan and I could hear him talking this afternoon about, blimey, we're 2-1 on to beat the scum. And I just sit there and I'm like, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to be quiet.
Offer him 4-1 on
Monday.
See what he says.
Albert saying 2-4. Carl is saying 2-4. You all think we're going to get 4 goals against you?
They're rubbish.
Okay,
they're letting 3 against Leeds.
I know.
Leeds couldn't score in a brothel.
Matthew's the only one that's gone for a 2-0.
Sousa for you, scumbag.
Listen, Phil Macker, don't sit on the fence, PG. This ain't Brexit. I'm not. I just don't want to bock anything. I think we'll win, but I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay, I'm just going to leave it at that. So thank you, everyone in the chat room. Thanks, Danny and Cookie. And shame Craig's computer blew up, but hopefully he'll be back the next one. We've got a massive game on Sunday and the pressure's on. It's on every game. It is on every game. Let's start fresh. Let's start hard. Let's start disciplined. Let's not give Harry Kane a penalty. Would that just not be amazing if we just didn't give Harry Kane a penalty? Yeah. I think it would be unbelievable, if I'm honest, but let's not. Thank you to everyone in the chat room for all your comments. Thank you, Avon, saying it's a good show. We really appreciate it. Please press like, please, because it's some algorithm thing. Danny will probably have to explain it. I don't know. It's witchcraft. So if you could press like if you're top of the league. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you, boys. Thanks, everybody. That's the same old Arsenal podcast out. We will be back after the Spurs game. Come on, you Gunners. That's all I can say. Always Arsenal. Good night.
All right. Sports Social Podcast Network.